Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Great British Baking Show. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's going on? Technically, we're Watch or Crap. It's not the Great British Baking Show, but I like to pretend I'm on the
welcome
show.
Welcome to the Great British Show recap on Watch Crap.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it's celebrating my personal favorite thing in the world, bread, okay? It's my favorite thing
and
to
it's destroying,
ever be born.
And it's destroying my personal favorite thing in the world, bagels. Bagels.
Destroying them? What are you saying? What do you mean it destroyed bagels? Nothing can destroy bagels.
What's
wrong
I'm
with
a bagel
you?
Snob, okay? So this episode was a lot for me to deal with.
Okay, well, everybody, welcome to the show. As usual, we love you. We're glad you're here. Next week, we're starting a new show on Stitcher Premium, only available on Stitcher Premium, called Dwell Hello, and that is where we cover a bunch of House Hunters shows and laugh our butts off. It's going to be a really fun show. We've already recorded a bunch of them and laughed very hard. So, Ben, what are the details on that again? How do you do it?
Well, let me tell you the details, okay? So we're releasing a 12-episode bonus series called Dwell Hello. It's available exclusively on Stitcher Premium, and it's going to cover House Hunters, regular House Hunters International, whatever basically we can find on Hulu, because Hulu has a whole bunch of House Hunters episodes for you to go watch. So if you want to go listen to this bonus series, and additionally, as an extra perk, you're going to get access to our main show, ad-free, just go to stitcherpremium.com and sign up with the code CRAPINS, and that gets you a free month of Stitcher Premium. And that, again, is going to give you access to all 12 of the bonus episodes, plus you get to listen to Watch Your Crappins without all the ads. And it's just an awesome, fun thing to do. So go to stitcherpremium.com and use the promo code CRAPINS, for a free month of Stitcher Premium. And we're starting this. The first episode is going to drop on October 19th.
Yes. So super excited for that. And today, here we are at Bread Week on the Great British Baking Show. It's a very serious week because bread is baking, but obviously. But a lot of bakers do not do bread. Like, bread is a specialty, right? Bread bakers are bread people. Bread bakers.
Yes. That's right. That's right. It's like you could be a great cake person, but how many times have we watched the Great British Bake Off and watched an amazing cake guy or cake gal fall to bread?
Yes.
Many times. The answer is many times. It's happened a lot.
Well, bread is a real killer and a real delight. And it has always cracked me up how difficult bread is. And I've made, we've talked about a lot of bread recipes on this show over the years.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple that work okay, but man, making bread this fast, it's crazy. Bread is like a two-day, to make a really good bread, that's like a two-day process. So to see them just knock it out this quick was something else.
I know. They made a lot of bread. It sort of made me pine for the early days of lockdown when everyone was making bread. Just everyone was getting back in touch with like their old peasant roots. Like, I'm going to make bread today. Including me, I tried to make a bread. It was mediocre. I would have been kicked off this episode. But, it brought me back to a few weeks ago. So the episode opens up with Noel and Matt walking hand in hand, talking about how it's bread week. And then Noel's like, oh, I found a box in Paul's dressing room. Let me open it up. Oh, no, it's the Paul Hollywood handshake.
Yeah, they've got a big hand in a box. And then he's got like his tiny little Trump hand. Paul comes on, he's like, oh, have you been playing with my handshake? And he's just left with this tiny little Trump hand waving. And today on the Great British Baking Show, trial by bread, a soda bread signature, a rainbow technical, and a showstopper transforming dough into intricate bread plaques.
So as the episode opens up properly, Mark, we talk with some of the people, and older Mark is he's more confident in bread, which is good because his first episode he was terrible on Cake Week, and then he was like a little better last week. But bread is going to be his thing, okay?
Yeah, and Lottie's missed positive over there. It's like, I kind of wish I hadn't practiced, to be honest with you. And Linda's like, under the eyes of poor Hollywood, it's scary.
So for the first challenge, they have to make two beautifully baked soda bread loaves. One should be sweet and one should be savory, and they should be free form rather than in a tin. And on top of that, you must make a butter to go with the breads. At which point I was like, drooling on my feet. I was like, oh, give me it all. Give me everything. Give me all the bread.
So we start with Mark with a K, whose gran used to make soda bread every day. And the chemicals work together in a soda bread to work immediately, so you don't need to waste your time with yeast. Lame ass yeast. Whoever even came up with yeast? Yeast is
Stupid
the most
yeast.
obnoxious ingredient of all time.
I always wonder who figured out yeast. I mean, it's so specific, this shit that grows on top of grapes. Like, who figured out that this is like the key to so many of our breads?
Yeah,
Like,
like
who's
someone
like,
just putting flour
that weird stuff?
together, and it wasn't working. It's like just take that shit off the top of those old grapes.
Yeah, that'll work. Someone probably like tried to make bread with grapes and maybe it like ballooned up or something, and then through like process of deduction they realized it was the shit on top of the grapes. But I don't know, that's
Is
it's
it
a
shit on top of
I
grapes?
often
Is that
wonder.
what yeast is? No. Why are you saying that?
Yeah, it's like a
Isn't
what?
it just like mold? Is yeast mold? Is that what you mean? Like just a
Yeah, I think
mold?
it's I believe it's a culture, it's an active culture. It's very culture, darling. I believe it grows on top of grapes. Okay, we're doing this now. We're
Well,
doing
guess
this.
what?
Where
We're gonna
does
learn
yeast
today.
come
Welcome
from?
to our class, okay? Where ignorant people learn things. Watch what's learning, okay?
It's a
So it's a,
microorganism.
excuse me, I was
It's
gonna
fungi.
educate people.
You
Yeast
do
is
it.
a
You do
single
it.
cell
Okay.
organism called Saccharomyces cerevisiae,
Sacrebleu.
which needs food, warmth, and moisture to thrive. It converts its food, sugar and starch, through fermentation into carbon dioxide and alcohol. It's the carbon dioxide that makes baked goods rise.
But like it's but you find it
I'm going to do a word search for grapes. Grapes.
grapes.
I do not see grapes on here in this whole article. I will tell you that there are 500 plus species of yeast. Isn't that crazy?
Are.
Yes.
Well, there is a history, baker's yeast history, and I'm gonna see. Well, I guess. Because here's the thing, I know there's gonna be someone listening saying, well, actually they're not just from grapes. You can actually get yeast in like a variety of places. And I really wish that you just wouldn't be so ignorant about yeast and spread that on your platform.
Well, here, I'll tell you this. Grapes brought in from harvest are usually teeming with a variety of quote unquote wild yeast from the Clochara and Candida genera. These yeasts often begin the fermentation process almost as soon as the grapes are picked, when the weight of the clusters in the harvest bins begin to crush the grapes, releasing the sugar-rich must. Now, that is a kind of yeast, but that's used in wine fermentation. So what do you think of that? Maybe you got your bread and your wine confused. I don't know. But here's what I know.
Well, I'm sh
Here's where the origins of
yes.
great of yeast are, okay? Hundreds of millions of years ago. Like, thanks. Thanks, Spruce Eats. Thanks for your specificity there.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Okay. Well, I'm sure people will chime in with all sorts of information, so we look forward to that. We could look it up, but you'd just be sitting here for about 15 minutes while we're like, "Hey, Ronnie, look, I found this article. I'm sending it to you right now."
Well, we kind of just
No
did
one wants
that.
to hear that. We kind of just did that.
But hey,
Anyway, the point is
we
this.
learned shit.
Well, we do, sort of.
Well, here's my
So,
question.
well,
Where did
really.
Prue get that crazy vest? Okay, that's another thing I think that needs some research. It's like a floor-length
It
bright
also
red
grows on
crazy
top of
vest.
grapes. Yeah.
Yes.
She found it on top of a grape. She's like, I would like this rather much.
Yeah, yeast came
So
off
she's
that
like,
vest.
she has a yeasty vest. So Prue is like, we're expecting lots of cheese and lots of herbs and lots of nuts to go with the herbs. It would be really nice to find someone using something really different, something very different.
Cut to Sura, who's putting a lot of different spices and stuff in there. And Paul's like, oh, well, it's the first time with bread with me, but it's easy. It's just soda bread. Ooh.
Yeah. I wonder if he's responding to criticisms that the show is getting like going out of its way to give like really hard challenges. So he's like, it's just soda bread. It's not that hard. It's a very easy challenge, if you ask me.
Yeah. So, and Noel's like, listen to me about bread. Hmm? No one under the age of 40 eats bread anymore. Okay. Which is very true. Bread is really fallen in the past couple decades. And I feel for bread.
I know. I feel for bread, too. But since I'm not under 40, I can eat it again, which is why I have half a baguette in my kitchen right now, inspired essentially from Emily in Paris. I hate to admit it, but ever since that episode we recapped where a kid knocked a baguette out of her hands, I've like felt an insatiable need to have a baguette. So I finally ordered one. So anyway, the point is this. I have bread in the house. So now we go to Mark with a K, talking about how he's honoring Ireland with his soda bread. And then we get like a little bio on him again, another little vignette. And you just see him at a tiny desk with his cell phone saying, hello, Mark speaking. He goes, Mark loves to travel. His job as a project manager for public health research firms.
Yeah, I'm like, developing countries. Yeah, I had to stop three times to write that whole sentence down. Mark loves to travel as a project manager for public health research programs in developing countries. I was like, well, that's quite a mouthful. Hey, what do you do? Oh, I travel as a project manager for public health research programs in developing countries. I mean, that just, I wish I was that intelligent.
And when he's not traveling, he's sitting at a very small desk with an even smaller phone.
Developing countries with tiny little desks.
When he's not working as a project manager for public health research firms in developing countries, he's working on his non-soda bread.
Mark's sausage and stout sodas use mature Irish cheddar topped with soubresaut sausage. Soubresaut sausage. And then we go over to someone else. Oh, is that him who's using melted butter and honey? Oh, Linda, my favorite. She's using melted butter and honey.
I believe so. I at a certain point, I just like stopped writing down every single detail because I just knew it would take me 5 hours. It's like Linda is using melted butter and honey, and occasionally she likes walking in grass, especially grass that is 3 centimeters wide. That is her favorite. I'm like, I can't keep up.
I'll tell you, once you get Linda off them punts, she works really hard. So bakers are being inspired by location as well. And yes. Linda's like, I lived in Chester and loved Welsh bread. It's like bread pud.
And then we get Linda's backstory, which is so Linda. Linda loves to head to Bexhill Beach to fish for mackerel and mullet, which she can throw on the barbie. It's like, I can just imagine Linda calling up her friends. Oh, hi, it's Linda over here. Great news. Got some more mackerel. Yeah? You just call me Mackie Linda, right? Because I love that mackerel. Got some, put it on the barbie.
Come on over. We're putting mackerel and mullet on the barbie. And then it cuts to
Big Mac head over here. Big Mac head.
And then it cuts to Linda and her husband fishing, and she goes, hey! Like, Linda gets really into her fishing.
With the world's tallest fishing pole. It was like she had like a pole. Like, she was going to go pole vaulting with that afterwards. It was so huge. Like, got to find that macro.
Yeah.
Macro.
So they're making two, right? One is sweet and one is savory. So her savory one is red and green chilies with cheddar and Parmesan cheese, which can't really go wrong with that. And then her sweet one is brandy soaked dried fruit.
Soak my fruits in brandy. Ooh, and mackerel, don't tell Paul. So then we go over to Rowan. I think we go on to over to Rowan.
We do.
Where Rowan is having the most Rowan scene as usual. He's just sitting in a garden with his partner this time. And he's like, that flower over there, that one's Rosamundi, which is Latin for Rose of the World.
That's that friend's house you never want to go to. It's like, what are you doing today? I have to go to Rowan's house. I'm probably going to sit around a fucking backyard while he explains shit to me.
And then afterwards, he's going to play Peter and the Wolf on his flute.
Rowan's flavors of Italy. Fennel, olives, and then polenta and lemons and saffron for sweet. And Prue's like, that's a lot, Rowan. That's quite a bit. And Paul's like, there's a shocker, huh? Paul's like, all right, well, when you say polenta, what's the polenta to flour mixture?
99% polenta, 1% flour. Is that bad? Some people don't like the grittiness, but I rather like it. Mmm, gritty, gritty, gritty.
Paul's just sitting there waiting for him to fail on his polenta. You just see that evil glimmer in his eyes, like, I can't wait for this man to fail with his polenta mixture.
Paul is ready to debut his new feature, the Hollywood hand slap. He's like, I'm going to slap you right across the face if you serve me polenta in this soda bread.
So then we go to Mark with the C, and he's got red all over his hands. It looks like he's just slaughtered somebody.
Yeah, because one of his soda breads, he was using beetroot. They didn't really go into it, because I noticed that too. I was like, what happened to Mark? Who did he murder before he...
Mark's
what? Who did he murder?
Mark gets cream everywhere this episode. He cuts off a finger. Like, what else is happening with Mark today?
Mark gets a very dull vignette. It's like, Mark loves baking with his daughters, and that's all I have.
And I feel like they keep dragging his daughters into this, but then they never let the daughters do everything. Like when they said, "Oh, he loves doing photography with his daughters," and then they show them on the beach, and he's like, "Go ahead, press the clicker." Then, and she's like, "I did it, Daddy!" He's like, "High fives!" And then today we see them baking, and he's like, "Close the oven, then," and she closes it. He's like, "Fist bump, you did it!" I was like, "You need to like give these children some autonomy, okay?"
You should write a letter, Ronnie. Write a letter to Mark and be like, you are not raising your child properly.
Believe in your children more, Mark, with the C, okay? Believe in your children.
So he's doing an ode to all things Cornish with a beetroot and Cornish kern soda bread, and then the other one's got chocolate chips and cranberries and stuff. And then we see Mark, he's got this like old fashioned jug of milk, and he starts shaking it up. And we don't know what happened, but there was some hilarity because it exploded all over himself and his entire station.
Yeah. And everybody laughs and laughs. Well, we need to ensure the flavors work against soft dough. Any additional moisture or fat can hinder the texture. For her ingredients, Hermine is safe. And Hermine is like, yeah, cheese and fruit. Okay. I don't even know if that's a combination, but I'm doing it, suckers.
Yeah, and she's also like she's doing a salmon. She's also incorporating smoked salmon. It looked like it was salmon. I don't know if it was smoked or not, but it looked like it was smoked salmon and cheese. And when she's not combining her job as an accountant to being a single mother to her son Steven, Hermine enjoys a spot of knitting. I'm like, she got like three full on elements out of that, and the best they could give to Mark was Mark cooks with his daughter. But Hermine, that's like. When she's not juggling croissants in the air and running around for her marathon club and mowing people's lawns, Hermine sometimes likes to invent chemicals.
So, yeah, she's using chopped smoked salmon in hers. And Paula's like, salmon? Well, how's it gone with your practice on that one? And she's like, oh, it's been all right. It's like, there seems to be a bit of dread around you right now. I mean, anything to say about that? Well, when I'm done fixing this car, I'll get back to you, Paul. All right. Building a brick wall.
I just have some apprehension. I know. It's just like... No, it's just I just have some apprehension about that museum that Frank Gehry wants me to build. That's all.
So then Sora is making a za'atar spiced bread for her dad. And then we see her family climbing in a tree. Hospital pharmacist Sura grew up with many women. And they love dried fruits or sweets. Actually, we're just going to give Sura the shortest sentence on the show and say that she's a pharmacist and she knows people. The end.
Exactly.
Sorry, darling.
Next week, Sura has shoes. It's like, okay, running out of content. It's like, yeah, Sora and Mark got like nothing. They're like, we have nothing else to say about her. And when we tried to ask for more of her life, she just scowled at us and said, you people are stupid.
Well, I think it depends on how prepared you are for the camera crew to come over. Like Rowan's like, all right, we'll be in the backyard most of the day, but I've got many things to I can explain flower in one. I can play the fluted one. I can stand on the ceiling with the jump rope doing pirouettes on one. It's like he's got all this shit planned out. Sora's just tired at this point. She's like, I've shown you everything. All right. All right. Climb a tree, kids. Just climb a tree.
Yeah. Rowan's like, would you like me to get out my antique marionette set? Sarah's like, Here's a fly swatter I got at the 99-cent store. Should we do something with this?
Did I mention I was a pharmacist? I said that, didn't I? All right.
So now they're shaping their breads, and we're learning, you know, if they overknead it, then the loaves are going to be unrisen, et cetera. So they're slicing the X shape on the top. And Linda, of course, is just like having the best time. She's like, well, you know, the X shape, it lets it look, lets it cook better, but it lets it's a nice bit of decoration. I love an X on top of a bread. Have you seen that? X on top. Reminds me of mackerel.
Laura's brought a pizza stone from home. She's like, yeah, I brought it from home for even heat distribution. Nice crispy bottom gives you. I said nice crispy bottom. It actually sounded pretty funny, didn't it, mate?
And then we see that this is actually, Laura gets a rerun. She's like, Laura likes to put a pizza stone to good use with her husband, Matt, who have a pizza oven. That's the second time we've profiled the pizza oven. Their life revolves around the pizza oven, basically.
Laura and Matt have neighbors that hate their asses because they're out there all day long starting fires on their pizza oven, which they love.
And then Laura's, her soda breads are the most British sounding soda breads. Nana Peg's nicely spiced and cherry-licious soda breads.
And she's Nana putting Peg. Marzipan in her sweet one. Nana Peg.
Yes. Nana Peg, who was friends with Nana K.
Mark with a C is crumbling his butter in, you know, old biscuit trick. And Lottie is like, oh, I mean, sweet soda bread? Who does that? What am I supposed to do with this?
What sort of idiot makes soda bread? Laura's like, Nana Peg. Nana Peg did.
When she's looking to unwind, Lottie likes to relax on the beach with friends and family and slather on eyeliner.
She likes to imagine longboats on the surf with carrying many Vikings singing death metal.
So she's using some blueberries in her breakfast in summertime. And Paul's like, how are the blueberries going, stupid? And she's like, well, I'm putting them in whole. He's like, ratios. And she's like, oh, my God. I think a lot. Oh, God, your face. Maybe less. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Jesus Christ. Just call the whole thing. I quit.
And then we go over to Peter. And he's making soda bread that's ginger beer flavored with ginger wine and ginger beer. Because I love soda bread. So finance student Peter loves to bake with his gluten intolerant brother Andrew back home in Edinburgh. Have we mentioned that? His brother is gluten intolerant.
We've already put a statue up of Peter's brother because he could go at any moment.
In honor of Andrew. In honor of Andrew, who is gluten intolerant and a hero of the town. He's making a black pudding walnut and thyme loaf gluten-free, also known as a bunch of crumbs that are just barely being held together in one giant shape.
Paul's like, so the rising agent with your gluten-free? And Pete's like, xanthan, of course, xanthan gum. He's like, You seem to operate at a different level, Peter. He's like, oh, yes, I've been at it a long time, but it's, you know, it's been shows like Bake Off that really got to me. It's been around half my life, Paul. Do you know that, right? And Paul's just like, you fucking twink. Die, twink.
The Hollywood slap about to make its premiere. And then we go to Dave. And Dave is a bit of a petrol head. And he also follows Mr. Hollywood's lead when it comes to baking. Because he watches his videos and you just see Dave massaging something angrily. Probably listening to Blink-182 in the background.
I don't want to watch someone fix a car when I'm watching them bake at the same time with their hands. I don't like it.
No, okay, thank
stop
you.
Stop mixing.
I agree.
So he's making a chili chocolate and cheesy bacon soda bread. And he's like, I've enjoyed coming up with flavors. Flavors, you know, I know these are going to work for the masses. And that's really what I'm going for. Flavors for the masses. So I'm sure this is going to work out.
Okay, Emeril, settle down.
I know. So then, calm down there, little Debbie.
Okay. Flavors for the masses. Okay, all right. It's not in our stores. So then now the, a lot of the breads are either proving or something. So it's time for everyone to focus on the homemade butter. And Laura, everyone's like, oh, butter. Yeah, that's the easiest part. You just whip it and then you separate out the wetness, right? So then Laura, though, has never made butter. And she's like, I mean, it's lovely, but it's very twee. But I mean, why would you make butter? I'm like, you're the one who has a pizza oven, okay? If you want to talk about unnecessary gadgets. All right, let's talk about the pizza oven in your backyard.
Yeah, homemaking cheap shit. That's it, right? Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's fairy tree. I mean, you put some heavy cream into a mixer and you just let it go. I mean, come on. And then Linda's so sweet. She's like, oh, I'm using honey. This is for Mac. He didn't have a chance to showcase his honey. So here you go, Mac.
We'll always remember you and the sad funeral we had when you were killed at the end of last episode. It's like, oh, he's still alive. Don't worry.
So Noel goes to check in with Peter, and he's like, oh, look at you, so young and fresh. You know, Paul's nice to you, and it's surprising because he should know by now that the apprentice kills the master. So...
and Peter's like, oh, I can't wait to kill him. It's going to be wonderful, but I'm going to kill him in a gluten-free way.
So, 10 minutes left, everybody.
Yeah, and people are, like... there's lots of stuff happening. Hermione is using some black garlic. She's like, don't ask me why. I'm just using it. I don't know why. It's crazy. And Rowan's is coming out of the oven, and it's like wide and flat, which is, of course, you know. I mean, Rowan, I love Rowan, but at this point I'm like, okay, it's time for him to go. He can't make anything.
Oh, Rowan. I feel like they had it like in him. For him this week. They're just like, that's it. I'm done with Rowan. That's it. He lost me at waistcoats, and I've given him an extra week. He's dying today.
Pretty much. And then, like Irish Mark is putting tomato puree on his soda bread. And then Laura's comes out of the oven, and she's saying it. She's with Matt Lucas. And she's like, well, mine looks raw because of the marzipan in it, but it's not raw. And Matt's like, maybe that's a sign that you shouldn't use marzipan, right? I don't think she appreciated that.
Yeah. And then, Noel goes over to Lottie and checks on her. And talk about blueberries, okay? And then we go, we have 1 minute left, okay? And Laura looks at her butter, and she's like, looks like a bit of a poo, mate. And then their butters actually look delicious. I mean, these people even do a good job with butter.
I kind of felt like the butter got the short shrift on this, because the butter looked so good, and I feel like we didn't really even talk about how the butter tasted in the judging, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're all finishing up. And then, of course, part of Peter's soda bread broke off, because it's gluten-free, so it's just basically just like sawdust. I feel like I'm gonna make so many people angry at me. I know that a lot of gluten-free stuff is delicious, but his looked really dry and crumbly. It did not look proper.
God, they've really come far with the gluten-free cooking. My family was over, and my sister and her kids and her husband are all gluten-free, so everything's like, oh geez, what do we find that's gluten-free? But they're getting good at it, and I'm wondering if they're being lied to. Stuff is so good. We ordered pizza from a new pizza place around here, and their gluten-free crust was delicious and chewy. I don't know what they're doing, but they're getting pretty good at it. But in this case, well, not so much, because it was like kind of crumbling apart.
Yeah, I think that like the gluten-free industry overall has made huge strides. I don't know if those strides have reached Peter and his soda bread.
So time is up. Step away from the bread, which I swear to you, if I had a nickel every time I've heard that. Step away from the bread.
So Mark's is up first. It's sausage and stouts. And, they like it. They said there's flavor, but you have to hunt for it. But on the sweet one, the chocolate comes through and the butter is lovely. So no good marks for Mark.
Yeah. And then Laura, Nana Peg spice and cherry-licious soda bread. Paul's like, looks quite nice. Underbaked.
I heard that's what they said about Nana Peg, too. Oh, burn.
He's like, I can't taste the cherry. And Prue's like, but the marzipan wrecks through. Prue's so positive. Paul's just a little shitty guy. So then they go over to Lottie, and Prue loves it. And Paul likes it, texture. Too. She has blueberry and maple bacon. And Prue's like, the blueberries aren't evenly spread, are they? Shame. What a shame.
You know that she does
your unevenly spaced blueberries.
She probably walks into the bank. Well, the blueberries aren't exactly evenly spread, are they? Are they? Like, ma'am, do you just want to make a deposit or a withdrawal? We should ask the blueberries.
Yeah, basically, she put so many heavy things in her bread that it went all to the edges, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think that's happened what to they someone. Were saying. Yeah. I don't see it in my notes here, but I remember them saying that, and I'm blaming Lottie.
I think it was I think actually it happened to Linda.
Oh, of course. I'm going to blame Lottie, too. To Linda, too.
they're so mean to Linda at all times, and she just wants to catch her mackerel and make a nice little loaf, okay?
Yeah. So then Peter, let's see, Peter, ginger beer.
Did not go well. So yeah. Peter, his Paul's like, well, you're brave for making for going gluten free, and then they eat it, and then Prue is like, it's typical though, right? Just like a typical gluten free thing, it's falling to bits and then gets glue in your mouth. But thank you for reminding me of what a good loaf is, because this is not it.
I know, poor Peter.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crap.
Big news, Peacock, the streaming service from NBC Universal, is home to your favorite reality shows.
You just go to PeacockTV.com for free full seasons of Chrisley Knows Best, Below Deck, Southern Charm, American Ninja Warrior. Whoa!
I mean, come on, people. We are a podcast that specializes in Bravo. So if you want to watch your Real Housewives, your Vanderpump Rules, your Top Chef. I mean, I don't even know what else I have to tell you, okay?
Okay? You can watch all these shows from the very beginning, which is very different because they haven't always been available. So it's really great to have this now. And they have hundreds of hit movies, thousands of episodes of your favorite shows, current shows, timeless classics, timely updates included. Okay!
All right, you know what? Watch for free or upgrade for more on your TV, tablet, or phone, okay?
Go to PeacockTV.com to download and start streaming now. Whoa!
It's commercial.
So then we go over to Mark with the C, Cornish. The Cornish celebration.
It's about time we had a Cornish celebration on TV.
So they love it. And Bree's like, well, if you get a mouthful, it's delicious. This one's a bit doughier, though. And Paul's like, yes, it's a bit cake-like. The second is weak. Like, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
And Rowan.
Yeah. They need a little bit more.
Rowan's flavors of Italy. And she's like, Bree's like, well, those are quite big lumps of sausage.
Right.
And Matt goes, you always like a lot of sausage, Prue.
Well, no, he asked Rowan that. Rowan goes, oh. Don't care to comment. Have we talked about Rosamundies on the bush?
You like big sausages. So, let's see. Paul's like, well,
and then they,
who's, oh, Paul says it's so wet, right?
Well, yeah, but they said the bread needed to stay in longer. And then this is, of course, Rowan made that polenta soda bread. And Paul's like, too gritty. It's a bit like eating a lemon drizzle cake in a sandstorm. A burn. A burn.
Could someone please bring that prop hand over so I can give myself a high? A high fiver.
Someone call Nick Cannon. I'm going to be appearing on his latest episode of whatever that show is on MTV where people burn each other. Just do it.
That rap that battle show.
No, it's that. I want to say Yo Mama, but that was Wilmer Valderrama. You know, it's the Nick Cannon show.
Now we're confused. We might as well be talking
Wild and Out.
Yeah, Wild and Out.
I'm going to Wild Out.
That's where they do like improv rapping at each other, right?
Yeah, sort of.
My friend is right. I have a friend on that show, and I'm like, is that what it's about? I watched it for about 10 minutes to see her one time.
Do you know what that show is like? Honestly, I'll tell you what that show is like. It's a bit like eating a lemon drizzled cake in a sandstorm.
So then we go over to Dave. Nicely risen, Dave. You need triple the gruyere. Do you get chocolate? Because I don't get chocolate. It's just not enough. Shame, because it's made well.
I'm tasting a bit of petrol in this. Did you confuse your chocolate syrup with motor oil?
Tastes like a lemon drizzle oil change in a sandstorm.
Yes, Rowan, I'm still talking about the sandstorm. So now we go to Sura, and hers is too pale. The flavors are delicious, but it's too pale. And they just keep cutting to her, and her eyes are bulging. Like, what? What did you say about me? What? What?
She's always so terrified when they're judging her. And they like her apricots. They say it's really, really good. The temperature choice should have been higher, but still, spot on. So then We're at Linda, and Prue's like, needed longer in the oven. Pity. It's soggy. It does have a spicy flavor. So I'd like to congratulate on your spicy sogginess. It's quite something you did for us today, Linda.
And this is where Paul tells us that if you put a lot of fruit in a loaf and then you shape it too tightly, the fruit goes to the outside, which I did not know. And that was interesting. And because it goes to the outside, it gets burnt. It's burnt. He loves saying that. This outside, it's burnt.
So then Hermine, they love the smoked salmon. And they're like, wow, I've never had this before. You've invented a bread. And Paul's like, it's a home sandwich. Wow, that's a very grown-up cake. Lots of booze. Yeah, and Prue loves her booze. So she's like, lots of booze.
Oh, lots of booze. Lovely. I'm going to go take this over to the library and eat this at happy hour.
So Hermine says she soaked her fruit for a couple of weeks. And Paul's like, this is very special. Hold on, everybody. It's coming. The Paul Hollywood handshake. There it is. And she gets applause.
Hope you can find my hand. It's hard to see in the middle of this polenta sandstorm. That was for you, Rowan. Still angry.
It's really, really complex. Quite the opposite of polenta. So thank you very much for all your hard work. So Sarah's like, well, I mean, it went better than I expected, you know. The Flavor Queen is back! And Rowan's like, well, those comments weren't entirely positive, but what is? There wouldn't be opera without a bit of death. And now I bring out a waistcoat and a flute.
Yeah. And he says he's going to learn from the last technical challenge, and he's going to spend more time thinking about it and not just dashing into it. And then for some reason, we just like... cut to a bunch of ducklings running into the underbrush.
I know. They're like, I was like, what's the lesson? Terrible. What's the lesson there? It's a bunch of little baby ducks chasing their mommy. I'm not really sure what the lesson was.
Well, they probably heard that there was a polenta sandstorm coming their way, and they're like, must get to cover.
Okay, so Bread Week isn't going to get easier. Now it's a technical with a twist. Today's challenge has been set by Paul, and it's all about timing.
Paul goes, for this challenge, you need, see what I did there? Need, need to really drive it home that I'm saying need the other way, to get your timings right.
So Matt's like, Paul would like you to make 6 rainbow-colored bagels. And Noel's like, they're the same as normal bagels with 5 different colored doughs. And they go over the bagels. They need to have a chewy crust. They have 2 hours and 45 minutes to make them. On your marks, get set, bake.
And so they're talking about how they haven't made bagels before. And it's funny because just last week I was thinking, I wonder if they've made bagels on this show. I couldn't remember. And then my friend Jason, who actually lives in London, he messaged me because he gets to see this a few days before us. He's like, oh my God, they're making bagels and they're rainbow colored and terrible. So so I was very excited yet scared for this. So we see Sura and she's like, well, you know, there's a bagel place near work. And, you know, so I've seen them make it, but I never made it myself. I mean, I wouldn't have to. It's right there, Paul. Why would I ever make a bagel, Paul?
I know she has like her butter point of view, but it's for bagels. I mean, if we look at it like that, why do you make anything? You can buy pretty much anything at the store, you know? So Paul and Prue are talking about the bagels by themselves, and he's like, bagels, unusual. You know, the rainbow bagel originates in the States, but to me, it represents the NHS. And I was like, what? So I looked that up. Yeah, so do you know there's a big controversy over this? Everyone's mad at Paul Hollywood.
Oh, no. Okay, go on.
I read about it for like half an hour today. Okay, so the NHS, the National Health Service, okay, through Corona, they've been supporting each other with the rainbow flag. So people put out rainbow flags in their yard and stuff to support the NHS. But now the gays are all mad because, of course, it's the gay flag. Like, hello? It's like exactly the same colors and everything used in the gay flag. So the gays are mad at the NHS. But on the other hand, it's pretty hilarious to see people who would not really be fighting for gay rights traditionally having gay flags in their yard, you know?
Right.
But people got mad because Paul isn't even acknowledging at all that it's a gay thing. So he's like, well, for me, it stands for the NHS. And Prue goes, well, it does now. Which I thought was kind of funny.
Like, yeah, I mean, one. I didn't. He's like, so here's what I did. I took some very tacky bagels that you would only find in America, home of all tacky things, and I decided to elevate it by saying it reminds me of the NHS.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know what? So I think it's okay. Everyone can use the flag.
Everyone can use rainbows. I don't have any issue with it. Rainbows and rainbow colored things have been around for a long time. It's okay.
We stole them from the Care Bears first. Okay, who was first, Care Bears or homosexuals?
How about Rain? Rain was there first. Okay.
We all stole it from God when He was ending the flood. Okay.
Light and water were there first. Yeah. I think that, I think it's great to honor the NHS and it's great to honor Gay Pride. And just because he in this moment decided that he was going to use the rainbow to honor NHS, it does not mean he's not honoring Gay Pride. He just said in this specific case, he wanted to honor NHS because they are probably up to their eyeballs. So
yeah, for real. And so we're especially honoring the gay NHS. Okay. Enjoy your gay goals, everybody.
Well, actually, that's probably, I mean, wouldn't people have been more offended if you said that to me, this represents gay pride? Could there be anything more offensive to the gay community than like
carbs,
by wrapping
being represented by carbs?
Exactly. He probably wanted to say it. It's like this is a representation for both the LGBTQ community and the NHS. And like, ooh, no, you don't honor gays with carbs.
Did that man just honor us with carbs? I just thought it was funny because, like, I don't even know why I Googled. Oh, for a picture for today's show, I Googled rainbow bagel and it was like, controversy. Paul Hollywood offends the gay community. And I was like, oh, girl, what happened?
Between this and the Lou Malnati's controversy, I'm loving these food-based controversies this week. Yeah. It's just so great.
I love a food controversy. But anyway, to me, they're gaggles and they always will be. So
to me, they're hideous and they always will be. I cannot co-sign a rainbow bagel. I know.
Why?
It's just food coloring.
They're gorgeous.
I mean, I could. They look crazy. I mean, look, you know what? I'm sure they taste great. Actually, I'm not even convinced they taste great because then Paul cuts his open and the way his knife goes in just looked like a bad bagel texture. I know you can't tell because it's on TV, but I'm a bagel snob, okay? I'm a bagel snob, and I would like to embrace my bagel snobbery at this moment. And you know what? Like, people are allowed to make their rainbow bagels. That's fine. I just, you know. And, well, here's the other thing. At the end of the day, they're still just plain bagels. I mean.
The best kind.
What? No, I like. You don't like any things on your bagels?
No,
I like a sesame bagel.
Plain. I like a plain toasted bagel with some plain cream cheese.
I mean, it's still delicious, but like for me, it's like, why have a plain bagel when you can have a sesame bagel?
Because those get stuck in your teeth and they're gross.
Do you not like sesame in general, or you just don't like sesame seeds with your bagels?
No, I like tahini. I mean, I like sesame, you know, I like tahini and stuff, but I don't like it. I don't like the seeds. I think it's just like a torturous thing to put on food. It's like, awesome. They taste like nothing, and now they're in my teeth.
Do you know every Thursday, I order a bagel from the bagel broker, or sometimes Maury's Bagels here in Los Angeles, and I get pretty much the same thing, which is a sesame bagel with smoked salmon cream cheese. And it makes me so, so happy. And I call it Bagel Thursday. I don't know why I branded my own food tradition, but I did. And and I'm not even trying to make it catch on, but like there's something that makes me so happy by waking up and saying, it's Bagel Thursday.
That's yeah, I don't
story.
Think it'll catch on because it doesn't have like Taco Tuesday, you know,
it,
like
there's
two
no
T's, you know.
There's like no wordplay whatsoever. There's not yeah. like there's no alliteration. There's no pun. There's no. It's just like I'm eating a bagel on a Thursday, so therefore it's Bagel Thursday. It's a terrible.
Yeah, the branding terrible, I think needs some work, but I like the idea behind it. You know.
Yeah.
I believe every day is a bagel day, personally. I change. I go from bagels to tortillas to regular bread to croissants, and then I just start over again. So it always lands on different days of the week.
It's like the lunar calendar, right? It's like holidays on the lunar calendar. Never know what day it is.
Yeah, I have like bagel savings time because it like changes hours a certain. Okay,
oh,
so anyway,
God.
They have to make these bagels, and they have to figure out how to make it. And basically, you make the dough, and then you have to boil it for 20 to 30 seconds, they say. But of course, they don't get the proper instructions. They just get bare bones instructions. So they have to figure a lot of stuff out.
Yeah, exactly. So they're all just like making bagels. They're making all these. It was actually cool. That being said, despite all my complaining, I thought it was really cool to see how they made these bagels, which is that they had to make like multiple doughs that were different colors, and then they were going to stack them and then slice them and then take the stacks that were sliced and twist them. It was really cool. And Rowan, of course, is talking about, you know, they're proofing their bread of their doughs. And Rowan's like, well, when my dough proofs, I would normally snooze or play the piano or do a spot of gardening or, I don't know, like maybe try on a waistcoat or try on two waistcoats or try on three waistcoats or go to waistcoats.com and see what antique waistcoats they had. I don't know. There's a whole world of possibilities out there.
And Mark touches his and he tells us if they have a slight indent with fingers, then they're ready. And I'm like, really? Because when I press on myself, if I press down on my stomach with my finger and I get a slight indent, that means I have diabetes. Okay. I read that shit on WebMD. So I started getting a little worried for these bagels, but I was really impressed how well they all came out.
Yeah. And by the way, just so you know, that test for bagels or bagel dough does not work with babies. Be very careful.
It's funny that you said that because I was thinking babies are like bagels, like there's no bad bagel. I guess babies just had to make their
way. I think they're bad babies.
No, they're not bad babies. Babies are angels. Okay. So you paused, so I
was giving you a no but on that one.
I took it as defeat. So there you go. So Linda is just sitting over there Googling with her bagel, which I love. And they're just basically proving their bread and staring at the oven, as they do, as they are wont to do on this show, and boiling their water. Right.
And trying to figure out one of the challenges that they had was how to, like when they make their circles, how to, like, join the circle. They had to like do some weird twisting there, which I was oddly invested in. And Rowan was just twisting his out, and he kept on saying, let's see, that's 9.5 inches. 9.5 inches, that's a good amount of inches. 9.5 inches. And Matt just keeps looking at the camera like,
Yeah. And doesn't he copy somebody? Doesn't he copy? I think he copies somebody.
Perhaps. I don't remember. But he does. I will say what Rowan does do. He does wind up juggling dough balls, because why not? And and we learned that basically the risk with these bagels is that if they're underproved, they are not going to rise. But if they're overproved, they are going to puff up too much when they hit the water. And then when they come out of the water, they're just going to collapse. So that's like the big thing we have to look out for.
Yeah, so much work. My God. So
now, bagels are supposed to be very hard to make.
Yeah, looks like it.
In case you couldn't tell from this technical challenge.
So they're all staring at the ovens, basically, and waiting them to get out. And Noel's like, Sora looks sad. And Mark goes, Sora always looks sad. Hello, have you seen Sora? Because she's always making these big faces. So 5 minutes. And Rowan's are all wrinkled, but he's still like laughing about it.
Yeah, because he was like poaching his bagels. They're in the water for like 20 minutes. He's like, just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. They come out like all wrinkly and like flat. Sarah's also looked like rainbow poop. They were looking very strange because they got like her bagel got disconnected. So it just looked like a big piece of rainbow poop.
Yeah. And Dave's are flat. And Lottie is like, oh goodness, I think I've overbaked all of them. So she has anger bagels. Yeah. And, Rowan's all mad at his. Okay, so let's do the blind tasting.
So Linda's starts it off, and she gets very good reviews. For the first time, this is the first thing that she's made that really did well. They liked her crumb. The crumb was tasty. In fact, it's kind of funny. For each one, they kept on saying, well, it tastes delicious. It tastes delicious. It tastes. I'm like, they're bagels. Of course they're going to taste delicious, even if they're plain.
So let's go to the ranking, shall we?
Sure.
Or do we have anything to say about what they say about them? Because they go through this quick.
Yeah, I just like there were just several that were very flat and wrinkly, and there was one that looked like pretzels. But yeah, basically it's all the same. I mean, how many times can you say this is flat? This is big. This is flat.
So rankings from last to first are Rowan, overproved, underbaked. Dave of Approved, Sora, then Hermione, then Laura, then Lonnie, then Pete. And the top three are Mark with a K, then Mark with a C, and then Linda wins.
I know, Linda, she's like, oh, wow, what a hoy. Can't wait to tell my family and all the mackerels, okay? Can't wait to tell Richard. Better fire up a mackerel. Mommy made a good bagel.
I'm so gonna give a good punt when I get home. So Rowan is like, well, I had a fabulous time. The result wasn't great, but totally fun. And let's see, what's the next challenge here?
So now they're going into this last challenge. They're talking about who's in trouble, and Prue's like, well, Rowan, you know, his soda breads were terrible. One was a pound cake, and Paul goes, and one was a sand paste. Up high. Sand paste from a sandstorm. You know what Rowan's favorite song is? Sandstorm by Darude. Get it, Prue.
So they're thinking that Pete is in trouble. And next up is...
with the law.
Huh? With the law. Yeah, Pete.
I said with the law.
he keeps stealing gluten.
I think Pete's
from
in trouble. I think I saw his face on the back at the post office.
He just keeps stealing gluten out of foods.
I'm concerned that Pete may be arrested any moment.
So Paul's like, well, we've got a tricky showstopper. I'd like to see them complete it, including Rowan. It's like, geez, leave poor Rowan alone. The man loves flute and waistcoats.
Okay, everyone, for your showstopper, you need to make a large decorative bread plaque. And no, we are not talking about your teeth. Does have enough plaque as it is.
Although bread does cause a lot of plaque. Okay, there, you
does
heard it
really?
Here first. And it has to be.
I like
style.
To call it tooth yeast.
What?
I like to call plaque tooth yeast.
Tooth yeast, yeah. It comes off grape teeth. So they have to make this in the style of the Harvest Fest sheath, which I feel like they're torturing gay people now, okay? Like, it's bad enough. You misused my rainbow. Now you have to make me say Harvest Fest sheath. It's very hard, okay?
Yeah. It is very hard, okay? So they have to make a bread plaque that's about something that they're thankful for. It could be their house, their health, their not having to have a sandstorm in their mouth from Rowan.
Their giant, things like that. Their giant, gorgeous cocks. Like, I don't know.
Giant, gorgeous cocks.
Make
huge
a big
penises
bueller.
In their lives.
Yeah.
And it'll give them an indication of how far these bakers have traveled on their bread journey. Spoiler alert, they just started the car. They just started the car. And maybe put their foot on the gas on their bread journey.
Yeah, so they get to going, and Lottie's like, no time for faffery today. And Mark is doing a Dharma wheel bread sheath.
In honor of the seminal ABC sitcom Dharma and Greg. Who knew that he was such a big Jenna Elfman fan?
Dharma and bread. So Bruce's like, are you a Buddhist then, Mark with the C? And he says no, but he had an accident where he lost his leg, which I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I noticed that last episode that he had a prosthetic.
Yeah, I didn't even notice it. Someone commented in an American show, it'd be every 5 minutes. It'd be like, Mark, talk about how the tortilla relates to your leg. And he'd be like, oh,
I know.
My leg. But here he's like, I had an accident where I lost my leg and I picked up a wonderful Buddha book and it just made everything I was feeling so clear. That's it. Yeah. That's all I'm going to talk about.
Like,
it.
Okay.
Enjoy it.
Moving on.
Yeah.
So then Linda, she's kneading and she's like, oh, I love this part with the bread. You can put so much feeling into it. It's like when I go fishing for mackerel, I'm just like, I want to put both my hands in that ocean, just grab all the mackerel and be like, you're my loves now, my new mackerel children.
So she's making the fruits of our labor, black olive and tiger bread. And she's like, as a kid, I would milk the cows and carry the buckets up to the farm. And that's
it's
like
a wonderful
really...
memory.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said that she said it's a wonderful memory. That's it.
He's like, you've really gone for the harvest theme this time. She's like, it's the circle of life.
It reminds me of Milkshins. What a wonderful memory. I cry, laugh, and cry.
Have you ever felt the sensation of a cow kicking you in the forehead? Because I have. Oh, I cry every time.
And Rowan's like, I'm grateful for my life in Worcestershire. Art, literature, life, tailors.
I'm going to make 3 flavored breads in the shape of a pear tree, which is Worcestershire's coat of arms. A coat of arms of a pear tree. I'm like,
this is like... Rowan is like probably the biggest dandy we've ever seen on the show. And like, I cannot think of a more of a dandy coat of arms than a pear tree. And I'm not trying to say that. That sounds really homophobic when I say that. So I'm not trying to say it from that way. But meaning that like, I feel like, of course, Rowan lives in a town whose coat of arms is a pear tree. That is so Rowan.
Yeah, he actually does a really pretty tree.
I love his tree, actually.
I thought he was going to like make it through with that tree. So then, who do we go to after little Rowy Row? Oh, so first Noel comes to check on him, and he's like, oh, did you do a dome? He's like, if you smash this, it's going to be amazing. He's like, well, it's probably curtains anyway, let's face it, but I'll just keep having fun, Noel.
And then we go to Hermine, who's doing an enriched dough, which is close to a brioche. And Paul, of course, is giving her that look like, really? You stupid person, making a brioche. She's like, how much time do you have? You're going to brioche? You know that you can't be a brioche in 3.5 hours. She's like, I know, it's a bit of a risk. He's like, I'm just going to stare at you silently until you realize what a huge mistake you've made. There, you felt that?
Well, it is quite risky. He goes, I agree. Dun, dun, dun. So then she's making a journey back to France, though, because she likes taking road trips with her family. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's already not liking the brioche. Please don't make asphalt. don't make asphalt art, Hermione. Come on.
Don't do that. Don't do that. And then it's like, some bakers have chosen to make fillings. And we get to Dave, who's like, well, my mango, lime, and chili paste is my signature filling for bread. It's just fantastic. I invented mango, lime, and chili paste. That's right. Me, Dave.
Dave had the best trip to Mexico of anybody that I've ever known. Okay. Dave, like, yeah, literally everything is inspired by his trip to Mexico. What happened to Dave in Mexico, you guys? I need the story because he loves it.
I know, because last week he made his thing, his biscuit thing was like, waiting for tacos, because that's what you do in Mexico.
Yeah.
And this week is this. And he's just, I just like that he has a signature filling for bread. Like, yeah. Oh, have you heard about Dave? You know Dave, he's the one who has that mango, lime, and chili paste in all his breads. You know, it's a signature thing.
A torturous mango. Mango is torturing us on this show. So Laura is doing pancetta and guil. And she's doing a show-stopping theater. I love theater. I've seen Les Mis probably about 97,000 times. Just love it.
And Paul's like, I've never been to a musical. They're stupid. They're for Rowans, if you know what I'm saying. It's like, Paul, you know what? Go see a musical. Go see a musical. Any musical will do.
Musicals are for those flagless people, whatever you call them.
And Matt goes, and you call yourself a gay man.
So Mark with the K is over there like freezing things in straws,
like apple puree.
Yeah, like purees and straws and stuff. And he's gonna make an Orchard County bread with sweet apple and savory garlic.
Yeah, because he grew up in Orchard Country, and what they call Orchard Country in Ireland. He's like, because there were so many apples. Apples everywhere. Apples to the left, apples to the right. Apples above you, apples below you. I just love me some apples.
90 minutes remain. And Rowan's just over there going, this is enormous fun. I just need Linda and Rowan to go on a road trip.
I know. God, I would love that. I would love that.
So they're checking on all their breads and getting everything ready. Okay. And then Sir is working on Mama's tomato vine harvest loaf. And Dave is also giving thanks to his family. And he's making his house, and he's doing really cool braiding work. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
It's kind of sort of a lattice. Yeah, it's really neat.
He is. And so this, as he said, is inspired by his trip to Mexico. So, you know, because he has a literal bun in the oven which I don't know why he didn't bring that into it a little bit more, bring the pun in. But so since he's about to be a father, he his whole thing is he's making his house then with his family out front, which is sweet, but also looks very much like a fifth grade art project, you know? And I know when you're working with bread, you can't always be super precise, but at the same time,
don't do it.
Like,
yeah, don't do it. Yeah, it was creepy. It looked like a Lifetime movie where they're like, tell us what happened with your parents, and then they have to like draw it out in art, you know? It looked like terrifying child art.
It looked like Mr. Bill. It looked like Mr. Bill in bread form.
Yeah, I didn't need that. He's like, well, I'm giving thanks to my house. Oh, I love houses. It fits so many autos. But I'm also giving thanks to my family because we've got a new addition. I'm so excited about being a dad, baking DIY, driving with my babies. It's like, okay, Dave, calm it down over there.
Now, do you think I should put a sombrero on my house? Because I just love Mexico that much.
I know, yeah, he's mixing too much together here. Like, pick one. Your baby, your house, or Mexico, okay? It's too many themes. So then
Lottie is making her house, right? Also.
Yeah. She lives with her aunt, uncle, and two cousins.
Yeah, so she's making her house as well. But she's also doing her thing in the proving bag. So it looks like she's basically, like, in a body bag trying to do strange operations.
Yeah.
And then we see Peter... And Peter is making a cityscape of Edinburgh, and he's actually using a bagel dough, and he's like, but he's making some adjustments because of the technical challenge. So he's made this big flat slab of bagel dough that he's boiling, and you just see Prue watching from afar suspiciously, like, this poor little twink has no idea what he's doing, and I hear he's running from the law. Terrible.
1 hour left. So Paul and Prue are watching Like Your Meemaw and Papa at the theme park. They're like, I'm not going on that roller coaster. They're just like sitting there kind of watching. And Paul's like, well, there's Rowan taking on a lot again. And she's like, I hope to goodness he finishes. Poor Rowan.
I'll tell you who took on a lot. My teeth with grains of polenta in between them. That's a lot to take
My
on.
My teeth are still traumatized. So Hermine is not happy with her eyes, a little flat, okay, but she's going to add some flowers, and then the designs start taking shape.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of plating, however you say it, and meaning they're like weaving things and making lots of fun shapes, and this is where you really see Dave's house coming together as like this goofy house. And then I really liked Laura's curtains because she was doing the stage. So she had these big red curtains with these tassels. It was very cool. And then she admits, I guess Matt was in Les Mis on the West End. And she's like, oh, I actually saw it 5 times. And it was the greatest thing ever. Almost as good as the pizza oven in the backyard. That's really the best. That's the best musical. Pizza oven.
Pizza oven. She enjoys her pizza oven with her husband, Ken. Whatever his name is. So Lottie messes up her outer twist, but she's going to get back on it. Sarah's painting away, and Dave's over there working on his sad pregnant lady. Like, it's not going well over there.
And Hermine's brioche still hasn't improved. I'm like mad at Hermine. Like, I hate when people do this. Like, normally it takes a brioche 24 to 48 hours, whatever it is, and then someone says, I'm going to do it. Like, this happens on Top Chef all the time, where someone's like, normally it takes an overnight braise, but I'm going to do this in 30 minutes for the quick fire. I'm like, why do you do this to yourselves? Why?
Yeah. So please step away from your bread, Ronnie. Step away from the bread. So Rowan has sad face. He's like, well, it looks all right. And it's just like a big tree. I thought it looked very pretty, personally.
I thought it was actually one of the best looking ones of the week, and he's like, well, it'll probably taste appalling, but I'm quite pleased with the look.
Yeah, you're up against a red dead baby, okay? So I think you're okay. Because they show Dave's next, and I'm like, okay, and now you've just killed the whole family. Like, is this a murdered family on your bread plaque? What is this?
So Hermine is up first, and it's very cute. It didn't all come together the way she wanted to, so then Paul looks and he goes, that's a bit abstract. And so she has to be like, well, that blob over there is a tractor, and that's actually supposed to be, you know, the
the fields, and that right there is the channel, and that's actually a road, and, you know, that's France over there. He's like, all right, I get it. Okay.
So, like, here's what I have to say about your city drive. It's not brioche. And Pierre's like, well, you know, I like it, and I like the focaccia as well. It's springy. And he's like, well, I do like the design of your non-brioche product. Thank you, Amin.
Yeah. So Syrah's comes out. I loved Syrah's also. It was very elegant. Just like the simple, but not simplistic, but like a clean, elegant tomato vine thing that she had in the center, and the nice plaid on the outside. And so they really enjoyed it. They thought it was beautifully seasoned and structurally very even.
Yeah, and of course, Matt Serta asked Prue if she dried some balls. And Prue's like, lovely, because they've got feta inside. And then Sura's stressing out, like her face is just stressing out as they eat, even though she's terrified. She's like, can I go now? Like, yes, you can walk
away. Can I go? Or are you going to make me bake something that I don't know how to bake again?
So then Laura's show-stopping musicals.
And Prue's like, well, I love your Victorian swags of great velvet curtain, you know, gilded tassels are wonderful, and the proscenium depicted in focaccia. I just got Prue, calm down, relax.
Yeah, Prue. And Paul's like, well, it's simple, but I suppose it's effective for a musical. So she's got pancetta and cheese, and Prue's, I guess there's some chili or something in there. Prue's like, there's quite a punch. And
is this when she does that little actual punch? She's just like, oh, well, since we're speaking about the theater, let me be theatrical for a moment. I just punched the air. It has a punch.
And Paul's like, well, you know, you did a heavy dough for your theater mask, which is quite original. You know who else did a theater mask? Gritty Polenta over there. So that's a sign of where you're going, and it's not pretty, young lady. Your dough couldn't even rise. And Prue's like, it's a pity because the edge is so nice.
Oh, it's such a shame. Even though almost all of your bread is terrible, this little corner right here is delicious.
So next up is Peter's Cityscape.
Yeah, which they say is pretty simple. And Paul's like, well, it's sort of effective and everything, and they don't really like the bagel dough, because they're like, well, you made a bagel dough, but you cooked it like pizza. And then Prue is just like, well, it's like a piece of leather. Yeah. And I think you're too young for that.
And they seem so shocked that they don't like his stuff. I'm shocked too, because whenever someone wins the first couple of times in a reality show, I think they're gonna win the whole thing. Like, once Safe. I guess that's just human nature, right? It's like, you're a winner, so I just assume you're gonna win everything. So I'm shocked too.
Yeah, and in fact they just go, oh, Peter. So then Lottie's up. She has a really cute design. I liked hers, and her bread was beautifully risen, beautifully, but no flavor.
Yeah, and then Linda's cow bread, she made like a big cow type thing.
The cow was great.
They're like, I like your concept. She's like, oh, we drank milk straight from the cows as children. He's like, from the udders? Not directly. Just imagine Linda being dragged around while she's trying to get a damn drink as a kid.
Well, it says something about Linda that they would actually think that she meant that she, like, fastened her lips right up to a cow udder. You know? They're like, it's not out of the realm of possibilities, Linda.
And then,
but despite the fact that it looks wonderful, it doesn't really have any flavor. It needed more olives and more proving and all this stuff. So it was look good, didn't taste great.
And then Mark with a K's Orchard. Looks burnt. Structure's not bad. Light crust, wetter on the mouth. Flavor's not that strong. Should get a serious kick from the wild garlic. And I don't. Basic.
Yes. Basic picture. Bread is okay. Go back to Ireland. Okay, next person.
You've got a call. It's from a tiny desk. It misses you.
All right, let's see here. This doesn't look anything like Jenna Elfman. It just looks like a bunch of colors and circles. And no, I guess that is sort of Jenna Elfman-esque.
Weak on the edges, just like an Elfman.
Did you know that Jenna Elfman and
Danny Elfman are related. Just kidding, you idiot.
So he kind of liked it. He's like, flavor's not bad. Use more salt. And Prue's like, really good job. It looks good. It tastes good. It smells good. It is good. Are you done? He's like, I just called this shit. Can we move on?
So now it's I guess now they're talking about it. So now they're deliberate.
Well, first they go deliberate. See.
Oh no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
First
Dave.
They go see
sorry,
Dave.
Sorry, I got confused.
They go to Dave, yeah. And Paul just looks at him and he goes, "So your wife is pregnant."
And Dave's like, "Yeah, I know, but even though I'm the one who looks a little bit more pregnant, actually, it's very true to life." Oh. What I'm trying to say is, you're getting a little soft and doughy there. High five, Prue. High five. No, okay.
It's called a sympathetic pregnancy. It looks like a sympathetic pregnancy. It tastes like a sympathetic pregnancy.
Shut up, Prue.
All right, Prue.
Put a sock in it,
well,
Prue.
Well, if I were you, I would have done individual bricks instead of this stupid lattice work. And that way, if you'd done individual bricks, I would have looked at it and said, "You think you're so smart because you baked a bunch of little rectangles, you stupid idiot." So Prue then tastes something. And she's like, this one here, what? This one tastes like mango, lime, and chili paste. It's my signature.
And she goes, yes, well, I do sense the mango and chili there. And Paul goes, bread is too dry, overbaked, flavor of base, hibiscus, and guava. And she's like, I've never met guava flavor. I mean, I've known it in essence, but I can't taste it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've never known guava as an essence, and I really can't taste it. So I guess technically we still have not met. Yeah. Anyway. Give flavorless unguava-y bread back.
And then Rowan's tree. Noel has to go over there to help him carry it over. And they're looking like they're bracing redemption. For a disaster.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be his big redemption. It looked all these past few weeks, every single thing, he has these big plans of what he's going to do. He's going to put a temple inside a Battenberg. He's going to do this. He's going to make Marie Antoinette with shoe page. Everything. And it everything never works. And finally, it finally works. I was like, Rowan might be sticking around. This might be happening. And so they cut into it. And Paul's like, I'm not getting blue cheese. What'd you do with the blue cheese? He's like, well, I just pressed it in. That's your problem. You pressed it in the middle of a sandstorm, didn't you? Was there planta in here? I bet there's planta, right?
I would have mixed it, and much more proving needed. All style and no substance, quite bland. And Rowan's like, well, thanks. Thanks, Dick. He's like, well, again, a lot more walnuts. I smell the truffle. There's a truffle in here. He's like, here's what I'm saying. Here's an overall of what I'm saying.
I feel like I just bit down on a piece of flute. Did you put a flute in here? Actually, I did.
So when they finish with him, Rowan leaves and he goes, all style and no substance, that's me.
So Rowan, yeah, so now they're talking. All the people are like, you know, standing outside the tent. And Rowan's like, well, I'm somewhat disappointed. I was happy with the look of it. Of course, maybe next time I won't use cement paste in my bread. That was probably a mistake right there.
So then we go to the judges, and Paul's like, well, overall, the standard wasn't good, so I guess he didn't like this time's bread challenge. And Noel's like, well, they feel pressure to impress you, Paul, you know, the way that Noel did when he starred in that Broadway musical you refused to go see. You know what he means, right, Noel?
So Peter, Rowan, and David are in trouble, and then Matt tries to put a nice spin on something. He goes, well, at least Rowan's looked like a showstopper. And Prue just looks at him like, you're a stupid idiot, aren't you, bald man? And Paul's like, it lacked flavor. And then Matt goes, but how much flavor do breads actually need? And Paul just looks at him and says, I don't know what Prue said to you in her mind, but whatever it was, I agree with it.
You've crossed a line there, Matt. You've crossed a line. So then we go to the part where it's announced who's going home, and these poor guys have to sit so close together on stools. It's just, like, so uncomfortable, especially in 2020. You should not be sitting, like, with your arms squashed against each other.
Seriously. So the star baker this week is Mark E, also known as Old Mark, also known as non-Irish Mark, also known as Mark who doesn't sit at a tiny desk. Congratulations, Mark.
Also known as
Mark, who doesn't believe in his daughter enough to take her own goddamn pictures. All right, well done, Mark.
Well done. Also known as Jenna Elfman's biggest fan.
And guess who's going home? It's Rowan.
It's Rowan. He's like, well, I'm very content. It's all right. I've had a wonderful time, and it's exhausting, but it's very, very rewarding. I mean, nothing can really be as rewarding as making terrible, terrible pastries week after week.
And I was pleased to hear all style and no substance.
So
I'm so sorry to see Rowan go. He's just so ambitious and so imaginative and just makes such shitty, shitty bread.
And so Mark's all excited, of course. And then his kids run on to give him hugs, which is cute. So I guess they're all kind of allowed to get together, or they're staying there with them or something.
I think the families are with them in the bubble. And then Mark, they hug, and Mark goes, "You're making me all emotional now." And then he just stares. And it ends. I'm like, oh, wow, just a blubbering mess. I'm just going to stare stoically.
Well, I'm what British a lovely emotional. Episode. God, I love bread.
I love bread, too. I always think about how good that tent must smell on bread week.
Oh, so delicious. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being here with us today. We will be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of Orange County. Thanks so much. We sure love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Saboni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a can, and Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.